I have enough candy to evolve it, but I'm getting enough candy to power it up.
Yeah, you gotta power it up before you evolve it.
I want to power it up. Because if the stat calculator is correct, if I power it up to my... Now that I'm a 27 level,
yeah.
It should clear like 2800 CP.
That would be nice.
And then that'll be a pretty bitchin' attacker for the gyms. And yeah. That's a great weapon in this current turf war we're having with Valor in Portland. We're in the middle of a turf war for control of gyms.
A Pokemon turf war?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How can there be more than one or two gyms in Portland? It's small as all get out.
Basically every sign is a gym. So
there are...
I mean, this place is a gym.
There are...
No, this place is a Pokestop.
There are five gyms within walking distance of my house. There is one gym that I can pick up on my... When I go into the game, there's it's right there if I'm in my house.
Yeah, there is a gym that I can get from my house.
But there's about 9 or 10 gyms in Portland.
Yeah.
And this girl, she got on the Nashville Pokemon Go Facebook page. And she's like, hey, all you Valors, let's take these gyms back in Portland. And basically, three gyms have now become contested. Every day, we take it back, we build it up, and then somebody comes through and makes it crash.
Yep.
And it's become a turf war. And there are a couple of us right now that are talking about hitting the level 10 gym that's in Portland that belongs to Valor. We leave their gym alone, but they want to hit our gym. So we're thinking, we need to make some room for them in their own gyms.
So Pokemon Go is basically teaching block warfare and gang warfare to children.
Pretty much.
And also...
That's how everything devolves into eventually anyway.
Yeah. Gang warfare and animal fighting and all kinds of other fun life skills.
Oh, yes.
Right? This is the Michael Vick home game.
Yes. But I had 40 or 450,000 invest. And basically, after this started, I was like, I need some better attackers. I need some better Pokemon. I just evolved about 6 Pokemon to over 2,000 CP. My best one is surprisingly, my best one is a Slowbro.
Really?
The HP off of the Slowbro is insane. Because that's one of the other stats you gotta look at. It's your HP.
HP.
And
there.
The Slowbro HP is
Ronin.
Pretty high, actually. Let me look it up. My Slowbro...
I'm so glad I don't have a smartphone.
My Slowbro has 142 HP.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Slowbro?
Slowbro. The evolution of Slowpoke.
Basically, Slowpoke sticks its tail in the water and waits until a cloister clamps onto it and it evolves.
Yeah,
pretty much.
But...
Or... If you go Gen 2, he can become a Slow King, where he basically does the same thing, except instead of his tail, he sticks his head in.
Yeah. And he can talk.
Yeah.
He talks to the characters, hey, you're not even supposed to be here. Oh, Lugia is mad.
So, do they still train him to fight?
No. He's actually an old shaman character. He's the Yoda of Pokemon 2000.
Kinda. But,
so they're teaching it's okay to fight sentient beings?
But in Pokemon Go, basically, when you have a gym, you earn, dust, which helps your Pokemon evolve. And what it is the number of gyms you control, it increases the number of dust you collect. And basically, a turf war has erupted because somebody wanted to take a mystic gym. The low-hanging fruit. It was the one gym that wasn't a level 10 gym. And it was hey, where's all the other Valor in this town? We can hold this gym. And I got on there, and I was like, you do realize the moment you take that gym... Mystic is going to be on top of you. And she's like, I don't care. And every day. And it was I watched it one day. Because you can, I go to my parents' house. I can watch it. And the gym changed hands, in the span of 2 hours, 3 times. And then Instinct gets in on the action. So that,
of course.
Of course.
course.
Of course. I didn't even know there were any instincts in Portland.
That's because nobody's instinct.
Nobody's instinct. But all of a sudden, you know, it's like, hey, that gym just went yellow. What? There's somebody in Portland that's the
low-hanging fruit, man. Low-hanging fruit.
It was low-hanging fruit. And it's just, oh.
Oh, well.
Oh,
wow.
So what's up, Larry? What's up with you?
I'm Lawrence of America, and this is episode 153 of Geeks of the Square Table as your host. With me today is...
Pokemon Trainer David.
Jason.
And Adam.
And, this is Previews Week.
Oh, yeah. Previews came out.
There's a big picture of Stan Lee's Batman right there on the front. Excelsior! You know, Batman being the big Image comic lead character, you know.
Definitely.
You'll never have Batman defeat Superman. You'll never have Superman defeat Batman.
Apparently they're advertising some sort of crossover
between Batman and The Flash.
Is that The Flash?
It says The Flash.
It says explore the mystery.
I was talking about the little smiley face. Maybe there's a crossover between...
It's a mystery.
I don't know. That's Evil Ernie or somebody?
Yeah, Evil Ernie.
Little smiley face with some blood on it?
Like, there's no other character in comic books that has a smiley face button.
I believe we were going to dedicate this podcast to the irredeemable one.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of the irredeemable one, I found out last night that his afro has a Facebook page.
Really?
Yes! And it's just basically, Gomer, like, you know, combing his hair. So it's like got this big old, like, Sideshow Bob looking deal sometimes. And there's just all these crazy things. Just type in a Gomer's fro on Facebook.
I've got to see this.
Oh man!
So you know, Void Where Prohibited has got his own fro for his Facebook.
That's honestly not surprising.
And I think it's like over a year old. I checked out on some of the posts. I went back to like April or May. I'm not sure what year, but did you find it?
Not yet.
Gomer's afro. There's already a search for it. Oh my god.
He's really. He's pretty
badass. Yeah, that's He uploaded some character photos for like Mortal Kombat
back in the day.
Selection.
Back in the day, the Facebook your profile header pic would kind of be merged with your profile pic, and so basically that's the selection for the Mortal Kombat like 3.
Yeah.
And so it was supposed to be situated where your picture would be a character in that selection. So that's what that's about. But since they've like redone Facebook and changed the layout a bit, it doesn't work as well.
There's semi-nude, out-of-focus Gomer.
There's one where he's dressed up as a wizard.
Curl Gomer.
There's one where he's dressed up as a wizard or something. But I didn't see a Slave Leia Gomer.
You should probably work on that.
Yeah, he's never going to live up to that bet.
And we're never going to let him live it down until he does.
Yeah.
I think he's added some more famous bros.
Yep. Ooh, what is this about? I mean, I'm not
going to lie. Oh man, David hit the image section.
Ooh, there's something in here.
You are correct.
Lots of stuff in there, I hear.
Yeah.
I hope there's stuff in there. It's a giant ass book.
Yeah, but it tells you what's coming out, so you can like plan,
3 months from now.
Plan your buying sprees.
Yeah.
So yeah, all the stuff in here is supposed to come out. Let's see.
That too.
April.
Yep.
Yep.
So, and one of the glorious things about being a comic book store, for those of you who didn't know, you do have to actually do your ordering 3 months in advance. Way convenient that, you have to order issues 3 and 4 before issues 1 and 2 have hit the shelf.
Oh no.
Sex Criminals is coming back! Yep. They apparently have a run going on that.
Sex Criminals. I don't recall seeing this in any other previews for a while. Oh boy. Sex Criminals.
Sex Criminals is actually quite a
really great book.
Yeah, it's actually a really fun.
Yeah.
So. The premise is there's two main characters, and starts out with the main character is a female that whenever she orgasms, time stops for
about 40 minutes.
Yeah, and one day she meets a guy that the same thing happens. Now she assumes it's only her, and until she's having sex with this guy, and they both. Are in moving through time. Then,
yeah.
Amongst other things, they figured out they could rob a bank and other stuff while time was stopped.
Well, the woman, she is a librarian. And her library is on dire straits. And she figures out that since she can stop time, they could basically... And there I go again with basically. I need to stop saying that. They can...
You can well, basically,
they can get the money they need to save the library by robbing the bank.
So they, beforehand, they have to have sex.
So they go into the bathroom, and they have sex in the bathroom, and they have 40 minutes.
One of my favorite things is a little plot point. So is the boss's potted plant.
Yes.
Dude, every day to get revenge on his boss, he goes into the bathroom and jerks off. And when time stops, he goes, takes a shit in his boss's potted plant.
And the boss wonders why it's growing so well now?
Well, you know, I mean... Suddenly, the boss smells this fresh load.
And one of it's a running joke in the series, and it's not the shit in the pot plant.
No, I just mean that just the entire premise of makes me think that there's a lot
it
of
it is a very
jokes.
Humorous it's very book,
but there's a running joke in the book where they couldn't secure the rights to flat bottom girls. Every rendition of this book will have a different story or a continuation of the same story.
Where they keep trying to get the rights to publish there because one of the girls sings karaoke to Fat Bottom's Girls. And they have little post-it notes in the comics saying how they couldn't get the rights. And then the softback, they continue the story. And the deluxe hardcover, it even goes on and talks about how Queen sued them for this.
You know, saying they couldn't get the rights to the song?
Well,
just using the name of the song?
Right. Cease and desist and to take the references out and all this other stuff.
My gosh. That is amazing.
Which,
I love it.
I think that Freddie Mercury would not have an issue with this.
Right. It's the people that own the rights to the song. Yeah.
But Freddie Mercury, he told his agent or his promotion person, whatever, that I don't care what you do, just never make me boring. And I don't consider this to be a boring bit.
In their letters to the editor type section in the back of the book, they have a sex tip column.
Yeah, and they published that in a separate book all its own called Just the Tip.
Just the Tip. And of course, the title to their first deluxe trade was The Big Hard One. And they always do a X-rated variant that is $4.69. And their regular one is $3.99.
Which you'll be able to tell the X-rated variant because it'll be in a poly bag. Yeah.
But yeah, just the tips. It's a lot of great, great, hilarious tips. Like when playing with handcuffs, or when handcuffing your lover, duct tape the keys to the ceiling so they can see where they are. yeah, little things like that I thought were hilarious.
Well, this doesn't surprise me, but Gene Simmons has a comic book coming out, or a book called The Dominatrix. That does not surprise
me. That doesn't surprise me.
Well, he's already got two other comic books.
But this is not a Kiss book. Wow. So this might be like
I'm waiting for the comic book based on his tongue to come out.
That would be hilarious. I'm Gene Simmons' tongue. It'd be like that episode of Robot Chicken where William Shatner's toupee is the thing that goes and saves the world. Mm-hmm. Every night when William Shatner wakes up, there's a metal pinned on his head. It's like, where do these come from? Same thing with Gene Simmons, except for it's a tongue. Now, let's see.
That could be somewhat interesting, actually.
Let's see, there's a...
Again, anything for Gene Simmons?
Yeah, that is literally... How he
oh,
is.
So there, as many people may know, Archie has switched to a little more adult or older teen format.
Mm-hmm.
But they've experimented with some darker stuff.
The afterlife with Archie and Sabrina.
And that darker Archie world, they're basing a show, apparently.
Riverdale?
Riverdale.
Yeah, I've heard about
that's based off
morning.
Of that.
It starts out if you watch the trailer, there's a dead body in it.
Ah.
They're dragging the lake and pulling a body out.
Damn it, Betty. I told you.
They specifically said that Twin Peaks is one of their inspirations for the show. So it's going to have some sort of...
So Betty and Veronica are going to be driving off into the sunset like Velma and Louise.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's worse ways to go. But they've already said there's going to be a comic adaptation. Or
I tell you this, this Betty and Veronica, number 3, the cover art, there's variant covers. Adam Hughes did a Betty and a Veronica. Oh, wow, those are some pretty covers. But Adam Hughes does great artwork. Anything Adam Hughes does is great.
What previous page is that?
That is on 284.
That's so far ahead of us.
Josie and the Pussycats.
You a big Josie and the Pussycats fan?
I believe the exactly.
Comme ci, comme ça. But that Ben Caudill cover is pretty good. I like that. I may not read the series, but I would pick up that cover. And that's on 86, 286.
Can you imagine the kind of conversation that we get, like the publisher's like, well, the issues are up, so are people reading it? No, they're just buying it for the cover. They could care less about their story.
A lot of people know that. That's why when a new series launches in the Archie line, there's 24 covers.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course, we were mentioning Jeff Darrow's
Shaolin Cowboy.
Will be coming back.
Woohoo! I love Shaolin Cowboy.
Great art. I'll give that. I love Darrow's art.
Well, Larry had an issue with like two or three issues where it was no dialogue, but just Shaolin Cowboy
cutting
his
zombies
way.
The entire thing.
But it was fantastic, and if it was
there's no plot. He was in a. He starts in a pile of zombies.
He is
cuts
in a pile.
Ends in a pile of zombies.
Yeah.
Again, I don't see a problem with this.
But yeah. But if it was a lesser artist, I would complain. But it's Jeff Darrow, so
yeah.
Because every panel there's always something new to find every time you read through it. That is how Jeff Darrow is. Oh, I did not notice that squiggly line looks like this. Which there's a new series, and Adam was talking about it earlier. The
Aliens Dead Orbit.
Yeah,
it was. It's written and drawn by James Stoke, but it also has a Jeff Darrow
variant cover
on it.
Which that looks very good too. I do like. I am a big fan of variant covers, as Larry will attest to.
So I would never guess from the money you just ditched on that Walking Dead variant.
Yes, I did.
Well, okay, so you're saying, and it predates the only, like, one-per-store variant I don't have from The Walking Dead, he bought before I could get a hold of it.
Really?
Yeah. That's from, because out of the store, along with me and David here have been the big Walking Dead fans when it comes to that kind of stuff.
But you get, like, the trades and stuff. I don't pick up the trades. I just get it in the single issues.
Well, I get the single issues. I read them once, maybe twice, then I read the trades.
Yeah.
I actually, now I don't get the trades. I get the hardcovers. Mm. There was a while where I went full board Walking Dead Kool-Aid and bought everything. Yeah.
I got a real second power.
Which,
kind of taking 1 foot off that train.
I did have to step back a little because there's now like 60 some odd different Walking Dead number one variants.
Oh, yes. But the only one that matters is the.
Yeah, I have the original one.
Me too.
And then, I have a first printing of the $1 one, when it came out. Then I have number one weekly, then I had the trade, then I had the hardcover, then I had the deluxe 2-year hardcover, so it was like, I'm going to stop.
And then you realized, I have a problem, I should seek help.
And I do have the Tennessee Wizard, Nashville Wizard World variant.
I have that one myself, too.
And then I've got a few other variants.
Also, but the variant I have that Larry doesn't have is like there's only 500 of them.
Right, it was a one per store of like number 50 or something.
No, it was number 100.
Was it 100?
It was the red bat number 100. There's like, I think either 250 or 500 of them only.
Right, and David found out about it before I did. Mark, of course, not that Mark really cared about those things. I would have paid way more for it.
Well, the thing is, it sat on the wall for like 3 or 4 months.
No, I mean, the one you...
that's the one I'm talking about. It sat on the...
Right. I didn't know he was doing layaway.
Ah.
That was the big thing, because I wasn't.
But the genesis of the story is that there is a variant for 163, and it's a
1 in 500 variant.
And I went ahead and put that one on layaway.
But knowing this was going to be a 1 in 500, I literally ordered 1,000 copies of Walking Dead. I could have two, one for me and one for David.
And how many of those issues did you sell?
50, 60.
Well, it just came out.
It came out Wednesday.
Yeah, so
it's a good thing they're 25 cents, though. This is the 25 cent edition, right?
Right.
Oh, okay. Paint on
there. And they did a special 1 in 500 and a 1 in 200. I do have a couple of the 1 in 200s left.
Yeah, you should have at least 5 of them.
Well, I have 3 of them left now. but anyway.
Man.
I
conversation
noticed,
derailed.
Yep.
I noticed that Scout Comics has got a couple of books coming out.
Who?
Scout Comics. They did Hinch Girl.
Oh, okay.
And Garion, which they're advertising volume 1 of Garion, but they haven't gotten past like issue 2 yet. Which I like Garion. It's it was promoted as an American. An American manga.
Yeah.
American style manga book.
Those are two words that should not be put together.
Yeah, you're right. I would prefer that the book was in black and white. than color. The color takes away from it. I think if it was in black and white, I think Tom Lantron's artwork would pop more, and it would capture that manga aesthetic, because a lot of manga is black and white. The color takes away from it. But it's a fun book. It's just I don't think it's gotten to issue 3 yet, and that kind of
well, that's part
that
of,
does hurt.
It's part of buying indie comics, man. You never know when stuff's coming out.
Oh yeah, I've misplaced my faith in Black Mask, or not Black Mask. Yeah, Black Mask.
Black Mask, yeah.
Yeah, Black Mask. They put out good stuff. Black Mask is put... Is
too much Coffee Man Omnibus.
There's enough to make an omnibus, so that...
That's a lot. But,
they're subtitling it the Starbucks Fanboy Edition.
So they can sell it in Starbucks?
No, I'm just making that up. I'm pretty sure that book predates Starbucks dominating the world.
There was a time when Starbucks didn't dominate the world.
Just way back,
corner on Seattle.
Just that.
An ancient memory.
The dark times.
Before the Starbucks.
We call them the sleepy times.
Oh, I don't have time to tell you another story.
Of the old days. There is the Flash Dark Knight or Flash
Batman, and
Batman
crossover called The Button.
The Button, yes.
It's a great name.
So yeah, it'll be
Push the button. The big shiny button.
Actually the Flash has been really good so far since Rebirth, and Batman has started to get good. So hopefully,
I'd have to debate you on how good the Flash has been. The recent issues have not been wonderful. As a matter of fact, I actually am dropping it from my pull list.
Are you really?
Yes. I'm also dropping Wonder Woman. I was so pleased with issue 14, but issue 15 was such a letdown, and I'm like, no more. I'll take my Green Lanterns, please.
Green Lanterns has been great.
Green Lanterns has still been great.
So... I've got to ask, for those of you who don't know, there is new Super Hyphen Man, and, Chinese Superman, there's the Chinese Justice League in that book.
Right.
But apparently, in Coming to America Part 2,
there's a
Superman meets Super Hyphen Man as the battle with China White and Lex Luthor and
China White.
They named a villain after drugs.
Why not, man?
I mean, was China White like opium or heroin? I can't remember. It's been too long, and those memories are fazy.
Well, I mean, heroin is an opiate anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Probably just opium, yeah.
Chinese opium, didn't he? Let's play dodgeball. No,
my problem with the Superman book titles in this previews is it's... Superman's having another one of those line-wide crossovers, and all the Superman line-wide crossovers are terrible.
Superman Reborn Aftermath.
Exactly. It's an aftermath, too, which aftermaths are always even worse than the actual.
So it's a...
So it's an opiate.
An event after,
well, heroin's
yeah.
an opiate anyway.
Yeah,
but it's not giving me, like a... It's just, it's giving me the scientific
alpha
name.
Alpha-methylphenetolamine. An A-methylphenetolamine. Analgesic.
Yeah.
Fentanyl.
Yep.
So
write that name down, kids, and ask your dealer next time you see him.
Well, now it's just going to be called That Superman.
That's Super Hyphen Man.
Side effects may occur.
Will it make me fly? I don't know. I
hope
and
so.
Find out.
That's why I usually buy them, is for the side effects.
Let's see. I mean, I don't know. I'm not seeing anything that catches my eye just from the covers.
Sounds like a slow month for comics.
No, not necessarily. I mean, there is a lot of events depending on the writing, you know.
Well,
this is the Batman crossover event's going to be important because they're folding the Watchmen in.
Yeah,
and this is obviously the comedian's button. I mean,
there's a,
you know, and there's the thing with that button. Okay, and it's supposed to be his blood dropping on it. It should have washed off by now. How did it travel a multiverse event without somebody wiping the blood, like,
because
chipping
comic
off?
Books. Because comic books. They can do whatever they want.
Fair enough. But, Cyborg Space Invaders cover.
Is that the one with, like, the digital...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
The one with the Space Invaders on it.
That Cyborg book's been terrible, though.
Yeah, there's a... What were you saying about Tony Daniels and Jeff?
Oh,
Jim Lee?
Yeah.
There's a Suicide Squad 15-16 with Tony Daniels doing the cover art, which is, like, you know, Jim Lee light.
Man... Jim Lee's even subbing out for the covers now. We knew this would happen eventually with Jim Lee. He can't stay on a book longer than 6 issues.
He's too busy making that editorial money to be an artist. It's like, oh man, I studied anatomy for this when I could just be an editor.
I could just tell people what they're doing wrong and make money.
Excelsior! You're learning, Jim! And you got the right last name!
So, the Harley Quinn of this month, it's got the classic Harley on it.
Yeah.
That's going to boost sales.
Classic Harley.
Just having the classic Harley on the cover.
I did see this Batman and the Shadow crossover.
Ooh.
Written by Scott Snyder.
Ooh,
that will be
interesting. What evil lurks in the hearts of men?
Yeah. Only the Shadow knows.
And the writer of the Shadow.
Yeah.
They were saying that was written by Paul Dini, one of the original Harley Quinn creators.
Oh, yeah.
That, I'm sure this Suicide Squad cover will sell.
That's the one we were talking about, Jim Lee Light, Tony Daniel.
Wow. Sure that'll sell.
Why, because Harley's in the middle of it?
Yeah.
Harley fans are crazy, man.
Oh, yeah.
Not only is Harley in the middle of it, she's kind of busting out of that. That's a little more showing than the normal Harley.
It's the roller derby Harley with the blonde hair, with the Suicide Squad movie hair.
Right, but that's not the roller derby outfit.
That's the roller derby outfit.
No, I mean, she's got the roller derby, but in her roller derby, yeah, I mean... She doesn't like. This is the roller derby outfit.
That's
the roller derby outfit.
Yes,
that is way different. That is not a halter.
That is closer to the roller derby outfit.
It is closer. I mean, the character design,
but it might also be
a string bikini top.
That might also be an artist interpretation of the roller derby outfit.
Sure.
Because. You know, every artist will do their own little thing with something. You've been awful quiet. What you doing over there?
I'm
putting together some more Warhammer 40K figures. The Death Watch guys, huh?
Yes. Plus, I've been out of comics for so long. I'm just kind of sitting here interjecting a little smart-ass comment here and there because I have no idea what in the ever-loving hell you're talking about.
Well, we talked about it last month, but I am actually excited for the return of Copperhead. I don't care if it's a different artist. Copperhead is great.
Oh, yeah, Copperhead is great. I love westerns. I love some sci-fi. Some sci-fi westerns is always good.
Then you need to check out Brave Star.
Yeah.
That is such a great show.
Brave Star was such an amazing cartoon. I love it. But now, okay, so as you mentioned,
it's a nice little acid trip.
The whole like blending of sci-fi and cowboys, it's fine until you look at that horrible, Aliens versus Cowboys movie that came out several years ago.
That was just a bad movie. Yeah.
Well, yes, it was. It was a horrible movie. But therein is the proof that even something you love can be perverted to the point of where you look at it and go, no.
Well, I already know that.
No,
my favorite 80s nostalgia thing is Transformers, and you know I have to suffer the Michael Bay Transformers movies every two to three years. So
I love Ninja Turtles, and I have to suffer the Bay Turtles.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I love Ninja Turtles, and I choose to not suffer the Bay Turtles. Instead, I put in my DVD that has all the originals plus the CG one, which to me
and
is still one of
my favorite.
And you sit on
the floor in a fetal position saying it'll be over soon.
It'll be over soon.
So I've kind of skipped ahead to like the merchandise, the toys, and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Get yourself
this
a My Little Pony
keychain collection. The DC Universe by Mike Minolta. Hardcover coming out, collecting a lot of his stuff he did for DC back in the day.
That'll be interesting.
Thank you for reminding me. There was something in Dark Horse that I wanted to just touch on real briefly. There is, and I know I dog-eared the page. This is going back. This is the life and times of Martha Washington in the 21st century.
Speaking of Watchmen, Dave Gibbons.
Yeah, Dave Gibbons. This is like old Dark Horse. This is like
Frank Miller, Dave Gibbons. I was looking at that earlier. Definitely.
This predates Sin City. I mean, this is like after Frank Miller's run on Dark Knight Returns, but...
it has Frank Miller as on the book, so I'm assuming Martha Washington is an assassin or a hooker or both.
No. She, it's
then I don't believe Frank Miller is actually involved with that project. That's just a lie.
It was a future where there was a second American Civil War. This is basically Give Me Liberty. This is the collected Give Me Liberty is what it is. But that is some nostalgia right there. And, wow.
They also have a super deluxe version of Frank Miller's Ronin.
Oh, that's good.
One of the giant gallery editions.
Yeah. I have those issues.
You have them in singles?
I have them in singles.
Oh, wow.
That's
a throwback.
Here's how I found them. So I was visiting. This is what I'm going to talk about. So don't spoil it yet.
I'm not going to. I'm going to sit back here and wait until you get ready to rant about this.
Okay. I'm not going to rant about it. I think it's actually kind of neat.
Does look interesting, but at the same time, what the hell?
But going back to the story of how I found these single issues of Ronin, I was visiting my best friend when he lived in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
So we go to Arlington because there's like a place called the Torpedo Factory. Basically, it was a munitions plant during World War II that got converted into an artist colony. So there's like shops and stuff that you can buy artwork and everything. On the way to the torpedo, this place, there's a comic shop, and it was no bigger than maybe, you know, two of these cubbies. And probably almost maybe out to the row where I'm sitting in.
Yeah.
That's how big this thing was.
So not very big.
Not a very big shop. Just little hole in the wall. Floor to ceiling.
For those of you who haven't seen the cubbies, you're talking about 20 by 24, space described.
This was a floor to ceiling packed shop.
Of just back issues.
Back issues.
Those are
your classic comic shop. Not those new modern comic shops just sell the trades and nothing else.
Top 20 trades.
Yes. You're not a true comic shop if you sell just trades. And I visited a few of, and I know who you are.
I've seen a few too, yeah.
But this guy had all the issues of Ronin singles, and they were in good condition.
How much did he sell them to you for?
I got them for like a steal.
So I don't know which pieces go with
that. Wow.
I got them for a steal.
Yeah, I bet you could. I bet you could sell those for a pretty penny.
Then. Oh yeah, they are. Even in their condition, they're pretty good.
Oh, wow.
I was so tickled about that. I was like, oh my god. Probably not. You don't see these. And the guy was just like, all right, man. It sounds like you found something awesome.
Just take them out of here. I need some more space.
Like, I'm happy to help you.
I have to find room for my top 20 trades.
Yeah. You, that's bad. But yeah, there are a few comic shops like that that just is like.
There's more than a few.
Well, there were quite a few in Arlington, Virginia.
Yeah.
Not so many around here, but I'm sure there are. I just haven't found them yet.
Yeah.
But the on page 500 and 501,
okay, now this
in the merchandise,
it's a wonderful two page spread.
Yes, it is.
This is
a Star Wars themed series of bathrobes.
I see several that I just have to have.
You have, I guess this is the Death Trooper. You have Jyn Erso. You have K2SO. You have a Rebel fighter pilot, an Ewok, Han Solo, BB-8. I guess that's General Leia and a Stormtrooper.
Well, they're all listed down here.
Well, I wasn't actually looking at the list because I could probably name them off faster than
that was really not General Leia. Yeah,
right.
Ray. Ah, okay. So, yeah. Well,
but yeah,
but it does kind of look like General Leia's outfit more than it does Ray's.
I don't know.
I do. I think it does. I'd actually get that Rebel fighter pilot.
Yeah, that fighter pilot one looks really good.
That one looks really good.
Honestly, I think I'd rather have the Han Solo one just because. Because
you're a Han Solo fan.
I'm not a Han Solo fan.
You're
just like
a rogue.
Yes, but, you know, that's just because, you know, I'm weird like that. So.
Stay away from bridges.
Over a spasming chasm on the planet Score. You know, they should rename that planet now that it's a sun. Solo.
I'm going to reach across and tag you. Now, that actually looks interesting.
Oh, the Marvel Blade Pop?
Yeah.
What it is they have exclusives, and this particular Blade Pop will be exclusive to previews. Which it made me mad, and it's my fault because I didn't ask Larry to do this. But there was a series of pops, the Dark Knight Returns pops,
really,
and I didn't ask Larry to order them, so now I don't have them.
Ah,
but it had like an armored Batman, a Superman, the Joker in the white suit. Because I do love me some pops. There's Watchmen Mini Mates.
Yeah.
Watchmen Mini Mates.
Yep.
Oh, I would. They used to make like large Mini Mates, like Galactus and the Sentinel. I would kill for a Mini Mate of Dr. Manhattan that was like 12 inches tall, so he can go stride across the battlefield and just burst people. No.
What?
I'm just looking at some other. I'm just looking at other merchandise. I see they're offering the 6-inch glow-in-the-dark Godzilla pop again.
I want one of those. I bought one for my friend who was a huge Godzilla fan, and I kicked myself for not wanting one myself. Now I'm one.
Here's the man to talk to.
Yeah, we can talk about that later.
Gotcha.
See, they also have a King Kong for that new movie, Skull Island.
Yeah, Kong Skull.
So now you have a Kong pop to fight your Godzilla pop. So you you don't have to wait 3 years for a King Kong versus Godzilla.
Or you could just watch the movie that came out 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah. Here are some vegetables. They got some new Fallout pops. The world needs more Fallout pops.
Well, aren't they doing a new Fallout?
Fallout New Vegas 2?
However.
Oh, are they?
Yeah,
something got teased
about that. Yeah.
What are we looking at?
I'd be surprised if they did a New Vegas 2.
No, this way, pictures. That.
You can get those right now.
Yeah, I know. But I haven't seen
the same studio.
I've seen almost all of them. Okay, well, this is like Wave 2.
No. Well, this is
because I've not seen any of these three. I've seen all the rest of them, but not these three.
Go to GameStop.
Oh,
they're out now.
So. Okay. Well, I mean, this thing is like I've seen you know everyone except those three because I figured they were doing them in waves because of
they now have the movie. Then they now have the movie.
Okay, no, these are actually pretty cool.
They now have the movie Rangers out too.
I'm less interested in that.
Ooh.
What?
Gentle Giant, Scarif, Shore Trooper. Mini bust. You ever had any Gentle Giant merchandise? That's so great. I love that stuff.
A giant Dragon Ball Z splash page, because why not?
Yeah, because everybody loves Dragon Ball Z. Have you got
a new show out, man? So
Super?
Super.
Yeah, you can like watch it on Crunchyroll or something.
Yeah.
But they have like a new Saiyan in there.
Do they?
Yeah.
But they're all dead.
Apparently
not. They're all dead.
No, what it is, there's different universes.
Yeah, there is.
There's different universes.
It's like a multiverse fight.
And this is a Saiyan from another universe.
Okay.
And I think, never mind. I've heard about this one. Yeah, I've heard about that. That makes me sick.
Why does it make you sick?
Because I think Dragon Ball Z should have been left alone years ago.
But this is the original creator coming back and fixing things. Would you prefer that GT stand as is?
Well, see, here's the thing. I stopped watching before GT because I knew better.
Oh, that is awesome. That reminds me of a series from Dark Horse called Monkey Man and O'Brien. There's on page 569. There's these ape explorers. It's basically looks like a Planet of the Apes gorilla in an astronaut costume. And there used to be a series by Art Adams on the Legend imprint from Dark Horse Comics called Monkey Man and O'Brien, and that is what that looks like to me.
That's a pretty cool looking figure.
Yeah. There's like a white astronaut and an orange astronaut uniform. But that's what that invokes in me. So, you know, you just have to find like get a custom figure of O'Brien.
From Apex Explorers.
So what comics did you pick up?
This week I picked up a bunch of DC stuff, like always. I got Batman, Superman, Nightwing, Green Arrow, Green Lanterns. Picked up some Marvel stuff. Champions, which has been really good. I haven't read the issue for this week's yet, but it has Gwenpool in it, which has me a little apprehensive. Not a big fan of that character, but you know, Mark Waid's been doing pretty good with the Champion so far. So
you're going to give it a shot?
I'll give it a shot.
I picked up my books today. I got from Titan The Assignment or Reassignment.
Yeah.
This cover says The Assignment. So this is a book with like two names. It's actually, I like it. It's a little different.
Is it?
Yeah.
I got the book. I can look it up.
It's a hitman basically kills the wrong person. And as punishment or revenge, he gets a sex change.
Okay.
The person who... They're like, I guess it's a crazy doctor or somebody.
Yeah.
The hitman kills the brother of the crazy doctor, and the crazy doctor gives the hitman a sex change.
That's interesting.
It's an interesting premise. Hawkeye number 3. The Kate Bishop Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Flintstones number 8.
Are you still getting Flintstones?
I'm still getting Flintstones. You know, 10,000 strong and growing.
Yeah.
I got Green Lanterns number 16, which
is you used to bite the heads off when you took the vitamins.
Yeah.
Yes.
which number 15 was a really good issue, and I hope this is a good follow up to it.
I got the Walking Dead 163.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got that variant.
And I got that variant, but I got a copy of the 163, so I don't have to wait until, you know, the variant's paid off. And I did pick up Champions number 5.
Yeah.
And I picked up a book from last week. This was actually a very light week for me, new book-wise. I picked up Doom Patrol last week.
So, Doom Patrol is a very weird book.
It's always been a weird book.
Yeah, but it's... The whole Young Animal line is super weird.
Now, I like these figures right here.
Well, one thing I noticed, they have an all-girl team on Shade the Changeling Girl.
They do. They do have an all-girl team.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
but Shade the Changeling Girl is way, way weirder than I'm comfortable with.
Well, you gotta think, look, it's being curated by, you know...
Yeah, everybody who's writing those Young Animal line is on... acid or heroin or something, because they're all crazy. But that's not necessarily saying they're all bad, because Mother Panic's great.
Mother Panic is great.
I like Cave Carson.
I did not expect, when I picked up that issue, that first issue of Mother Panic, I did not expect it to be a Batman book, or related to Batman.
Oh, I knew it was going to be related to Batman.
I did not know that. I was surprised. But I did not expect an imprint to be a Batman book.
Yeah. Batman's actually on the cover for Mother Panic in this previews.
But in the previews, there's on page 578, there's two figures of Drifters, from the series Drifters. Has anybody been watching any of the most recent anime?
Actually, I think... It was you that was telling me about Drifters the other day, and I have not had a chance to pick it up yet.
Okay. Drifters is by the same studio that did Hellsing Ultimate, which is one of the best, prettiest animes I've seen in a long time. Hellsing Ultimate. It's by the same studio. Same art style. Same character design style as Hellsing Ultimate. But Drifters is where... historical figures, when they die, they get taken to another world. And there are two types. There's Drifters and Ends. And the Ends are the ones that want to bring an end to things.
Okay.
Drifters are the ones that... they start out, they don't want to be involved, but they're forced to be involved. The world they live in is a medieval... type world, has elves and dwarves and other demi-humans. They call them demi-humans. But there's a...
that's not very nice.
Well, they haven't named all the other... But there's other... There's humans and demi-humans is what they call them. But there's a nation that was founded called Orta.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who found it?
Who?
Hitler.
Awesome.
Hitler was a drifter. And so basically they have this swords and sorcery type fantasy Nazis, and they just have conquered or have started a full-scale rebellion against this nation.
So what happens, so all of these are dead historical figures.
Dead historical
figures. So what happens if they die?
The one end that did die in the series turned to dust.
Okay.
Jonah
so
Arc
just died.
is in the series, and she came close to death, but there was another historical character, and I forget who it was, who was killed.
Uh-huh.
And it took a lot to kill him, but he turned to dust. But the ends are uniting like goblins and all the dark demi-humans, and the drifters are now uniting, have united like humans, elves, and dwarves to rebel against the Orta, because if they get the Orta, they take out the Orta, they have a nation that they can have, you know, give the elves their own state, the dwarves their own state. And it's these Japanese warriors. It's these two Japanese warriors plus a third Japanese warrior that are doing this. But it's a wonderful series. I really enjoyed it. It's probably the best series to come out of the winter 2016-17 season, which we're now starting in like the spring 2017 season of anime.
And right now, there's not much to crow about. Although I do like Ruby. I have been enjoying Ruby. But
Ruby's been around for a while.
Ruby's been around for a while, but the Season 4 is currently going on right now. They changed animation style for Ruby.
Did they?
Yes. And Season 4 looks so much better, and they're like true full-length half-hour episodes.
They used to be like shorts, weren't they?
They used to be like 7-minute shorts. Yeah. Season 1 was like, you could probably fit all the episodes of Season 1 into an hour. Season 2, they became like maybe 14-minute episodes. Season 3, they got to about 20 minutes, 21 minutes, and now they have like a full 30-minute episode. So the series has gotten progressively longer, but also better.
Yeah.
Visually. Story-wise, it's dragging on. I don't know how long they can be carrying a grievously wounded Uncle Crow, or Drunkle Crow as I like to call him, through the woods to look for medicine. They've been doing that for like 3 or 4 episodes now.
I don't know. I mean, you know, let's look back at how Dragon Ball Z did the entire, you know, fight for Planet Namek. It's going to blow up in like 5 minutes. 30 episodes later, it's still going.
It's still going. So, that is basically the animated version of the Death of Superman comic book. Where every page is a punch.
Yep, that entire season was nothing but one fight.
Next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Next time, power up part 6. I don't know if they're powering up or if they're just trying to push through something. They didn't need enough fiber or something.
Speaking of Dragon Ball Z.
Here we go. Bring everybody in there. What's up?
Have you seen like the tease for the next episode of Abridged?
I've not been watching Abridged, actually.
Because they got little Kairobo to do Yugi. And he shows up at the Cell games. I'm a magician. I'm a pharaoh. I've had powers at my command. And so I was like, this guy gets it. Let's duel. He pulls out a deck. Wait a second, what are you doing? He's like, nope, been illegal.
Blasts him.
7 years. This book you gave me, so this is illegal. Banned. Banned. Well, then, what do you mean I can't use Exodia? Whoa. Larry, you've been awful quiet over there.
Oh, I was just looking through, checking out some of the different stuff coming through. There's a lot of hardcovers that are coming out that'll be big that month. You know, Saga's Deluxe Hardcover is coming out.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, and then the We Stand on Guard hardcovers coming out, yeah. which I loved that series.
That was a good series.
Royal City. I saw this advertisement, Royal City 2. Royal City number 1, that's a Jeff Lemire drawn and wrote book, graphic novel series, serialized or whatever. So I'm interested to see how that does. It's penciled and watercolored in type look to it. A very unique style, kind of that of mind management type feel to it. And of course I'm usually more interested in all the indie stuff, me personally. I tried to actually reach out to the Boom Press Relations guy, see if they had any plans of doing another Warlords of Appalachia series, but he did not respond to my random Facebook messaging.
Well.
Oh, wow.
Well.
I'm surprised.
Well, it's lucky for you that you have a friend who works in the PR for Outright Geekery and could relay your question to this person, because I have his email.
So do I.
Does his name start with an M?
What is his name? Philip Semblik.
Okay, that's not the guy I know.
He is the president of publishing and marketing at Boom Studios.
Well, I have the PR guy's email, so I could probably shoot him a message if you want.
Okay, so and he deals with a lot, one of the retailer groups.
Okay,
that's who I reached out through through the retailer groups, and so that's one of the things about social media is definitely given
access,
another voice for a lot of local retailers to deal with some of these big guys on a more local basis. To answer the question, get their feedback.
Yes. Which there's a situation right now. It's related to Outright Geekery, but the group that I've been trying to contact, and I've been trying to contact them for almost a month now, has yet to give a reply, and it comes off as very unprofessional. I've sent three messages, and two of them are in French, and I still haven't got a reply.
In French.
In French. Because we have a wonderful writer on Outright Geekery named Fabian.
Uh-huh.
And she lives in Belgium.
Oh, so she...
That's why this inquiry is in French. She was nice enough to take my English and translate it to French for me. And I've sent inquiries to this group in France.
I didn't know we were international.
We have several international members of Outright Geekery.
I ship internationally. We have international box holders.
But we have several members of the Outright Geekery writing staff are international. We have Fabian is one. We have Nadir.
Uh-huh.
We have... I believe it's there's a fella named Tom, and he is in the UK. Nadir is in the UK. We have a Shayla who is in Australia. So we do have a few writers in a few places that are outside of the US. I don't know if we have anybody in Canada. And there's many Outright Geekery writers that are spread out throughout the state.
Oh yeah, definitely.
There's quite a few. A lot of them are kind of.
I would do if you're going to do a heavy weapon in this squad.
I don't know where all of them are, but I know there are a few that are in New Jersey and New York State. I know there are several in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Leroy D and Amani, and I think Aubryon, are all out of Atlanta. Chuck is in Louisiana. I think Henry's from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Eli, I'm not sure where Eli's from. I do know that Eli is a member of, is a Native American, and he's the host of the Geek Sabs podcast.
Yeah.
But I don't know what tribe he's a member of.
Okay.
So, but the Geek Sabs is basically where they talk. It's him and a few of his friends talk about topics, geek related topics, with a Native American slant on it.
Interesting.
We have a guy in Utah who is going to be our presence at the Emerald City Comic Con.
Oh,
so his name is Joshua.
That'd be cool.
And he'll be. So we're spread out.
Yeah.
We're spread out.
Well, and with the limited means and the internet being what it is, it definitely gives us the means to be able to work with people across the world. That's the only way you can really cover a lot of these conventions.
Yep, that is how it happens.
Unless we had the money to send somebody flying somewhere every week.
Not going to happen.
Nah.
Now, if I had the money, I would go. I would personally go to San Diego Comic-Con. But it's already too late to even get the applications in. Those applications are like due around like the beginning of, or before the beginning of the year. So, but
Sky Doll's coming, got a new series.
Ooh, Sky Doll.
And, you know, a Titan's picking it up. Now, Sky Doll was a fringe comic. It's essentially about a sex bot that goes searching for her soul.
So Cherry 3 or Cherry 5000 or something like that, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember that movie. That's a long time ago. But this is, takes place in way in the future on a space station originally, I think. It was a very weird...
Speaking of sex bots that are trying to find their souls, has anybody been watching the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No.
Nope.
I do not have cable. I have been cursing myself for not being able to catch it.
Okay,
just it's because I really miss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
There are a lot of sex bots and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They know there's LMDs.
That's what it is. It's LMDs. They Fitz and I forget his the other guy. He's the brother who he's the actor who played the brother in the Mummy movies.
I know who you're talking about.
Oh yeah,
about.
He
yeah.
played Jonathan. He's the big brain doctor who's into bio augmentation.
Yes, he's built an LMD that can pass for human.
Now, see, I figured that was coming at the end of the last season when you know he was talking when he came into his little laboratory or whatever, and you saw the frosted glass with the silhouette. As soon as I saw that, I'm thinking LMDs are coming. I really want to see this, and I haven't been able to see the season.
LMD. They've introduced an LMD called Ada in a post-Ultron world. They during the Ghost Rider arc, they introduced the Darkhold.
I wish I had been able to see the Ghost
Rider. LMD read the Darkhold. And now her creator is after the Darkhold. And they have done some pretty hairy things to get a hold of it. There's a lot of Terminator references and a lot of other robot apocalypse type of references made in this movie, in this show. But it's been very good. The Ghost Rider arc was really good, and the current LMD arc is been surprisingly good. But going back to Sky Doll, one thing I got to hand to Titan Comics is they are picking up some pretty awesome third party or.
Some license.
License
books. Yeah, they have a whole line of themselves on just Doctor Who alone. Mm-hmm.
But they have Doctor Who, they have Tank Girl.
Yeah.
They got the Mummy, now they're getting Sky Doll. They have the Rivers of London. There's a Dark Souls comic book coming out, which I don't play Dark Souls.
You should.
They also have the Assassin's Creed. But Titan has come a long way.
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of sort of like
early
Dark Horse and IDW.
Did I say IMDb?
Speaking of Doctor Who.
I'm sorry.
You remember the kids' book, the Mr. Man? Yeah, and you'd have Mr. Angry, Mr. Happy, Mr. Sad.
Yes.
They're covering those in Doctors now. Mm-hmm. Mr. First, Mr. Second, Mr. Third, so forth and so forth. Are going to get their own. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Doctor Who. Penny Dreadful. That's a...
So you can get your kid into Doctor Who, you know, pre-elementary school. Yeah. Assure that they have... Yeah, a little bit of geek cred right off the bat.
Titan also has some alien stuff.
It's going to be a Dynamite book, but...
The making.
Okay,
it's a concept art and stuff for the making of Alien.
They're doing a prequel to the sci-fi's TV show Z Nation in comic book form. Which Z Nation is a pretty funny,
tongue-in-cheek post-apocalypse. I watched a couple episodes of that.
Zombie. You know, it starts out with this high-speed zombie baby in the very first episode. So. You know not to take it serious.
Oh, yeah. That high-speed baby was reminiscent of Dead Alive Baby.
Oh, I love the Dead Alive Baby.
Yeah. I did watch a couple of episodes of Zombie Nation. Of Z Nation.
It was definitely, it was worth a laugh.
So on the subject, when we get to comics and we get to TV for a second.
Yeah.
I've seen, because I've been watching things on YouTube, I've seen previews for Powerless. Have you seen the preview for this?
I don't know if it's aired yet, but I've seen a preview.
I don't know if it's aired yet or not, but I see the preview for it, and it intrigues me so much.
Is that the DC...
The ones where the people live in the DC universe, they work for the Wayne...
Yeah, for the Wayne,
they clean up stuff.
Yeah. Well, no, they're in... They,
I've seen some reviews for that first episode, and that for the pilot, they haven't been great so far. But it's a pilot episode, so pilots are never really...
Yeah. You don't really judge a series by its pilot, you know.
Well,
most series
get judged by their pilots. That,
okay, so companies judge them, yes.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, shows grow over time. Yeah,
you know, but it's that is the thing of, you know, the company has to watch and say, on this one show, do we want more of them? You know, and it's been,
I like it. It's great. It's the newest thing. Put more out of it.
But first, let's change several casting ideas. Let's put it in a different genre. Let's stick it on a space station, even though it was in the middle of the desert at first.
That model's slowly starting to go away, though, with Netflix and Amazon and stuff. You know, you get more.
You get what
just
you want.
Full seasons greenlit, you know, right off the bat.
Right, because people.
This is true.
Yeah, you know, there's a good way to cater to, I want to binge watch audience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention, people like the end, being able to have an ending. Complete story arc. And we went through so many years and so many shows that were canceled 3 or 4 episodes in, you know. People...
Clerks.
Got, you know, tired of even or risking a show until after it had been, you know, a season or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Firefly?
What? Don't bring up Firefly.
I would like to see a Firefly animated on Netflix or something.
I think they didn't do a Firefly animated series?
No.
No.
That's the only way it would ever come back nowadays.
Or a CGI. Yeah, it's been too long.
Okay.
They'd have to do animated or...
Well, I mean, Nathan Fillion's not doing anything now that Castle's done, so I mean, you know, probably get him back.
But you can't get Alan Tudyk.
Animated or reboot.
No.
He's too busy on Powerless. And he's raking in that Disney money, okay. Man.
Who?
Alan Tudyk. Walsh.
The guy who played Walsh.
Yeah, I know. What show?
Powerless. He's like Powerless. The company president or
he's
something.
He's like Bruce Wayne's cousin.
Yeah.
How
Wayne?
No, I don't know. How is he Bruce Wayne's cousin?
Because
there's only one. I only know one Bruce Wayne cousin.
Batwoman is
Bruce Wayne's cousin.
Ah,
so this is not canon. This is not kosher. But no, Alan Tudyk has been raking in like that Disney money, man. He is
for K2SO.
No, not just K2SO. He was Duke Weasel in Frozen.
Oh, he was.
He was
yeah.
the weasel in yeah. Zootopia.
Yeah, he's a lot of characters on
he
Pixar.
He was King
stuff.
Candy.
Yeah,
on Wreck-It Ralph.
Yes, yep.
And then he was K2SO.
Yeah.
He's been in like the last three,
getting
4 years.
Getting that voice actor money.
Yeah,
that's
well,
the easy
and he
stuff.
Also he went. He relaunched his career kind of with Con Man.
Yeah,
you
know? He's the John Ratzenberg of our a new generation.
Oh boy,
John Ratzenberg was like in practically every Pixar
yeah.
picture.
True. He did well at it though.
Yes,
I'm the Underminer. You may be below, I may be below you, but nothing's below me.
And John Ratzenberger was in Star Wars, so he's raking in some Disney. He's raking in more Disney money.
Yeah,
every time.
So out of all this, what do you think you're most excited for in here?
Oh,
I don't know.
I would probably be, if I had to go, I would say probably Shaolin Cowboy, because Shaolin Cowboy, Sex Criminals. Oh.
Which, oh, apparently there's going to be a con man card game based on Turtic's con man.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, says building the Death Watch. You're building the Death Watch Warhammer 40K figs over there.
Yeah.
Oh, we rope me into everything. Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna rope you. You've been sitting here building them the whole time.
Slowly but surely.
And tell us about the little plastic army men you're building.
A little plastic army men?
Death Watch, it's a company of Space Marines. Space Marines being a Marine in space. Are they not a company of Space Marines?
Okay. A Space Marine company.
You got people laughing.
A Space Marine company
tables.
Is a.
I'm trying
is,
to get some word range here.
Space Marine. Okay, Space You're Marines in Warhammer 40K, Space Marines are chapters. Chapters are 1,000 Marines. A company is 100 Marines in that chapter. Death Watch is a single member from a chapter put into a squad of men. They do work for. Inquisitors, they hunt down aliens, but it's a mixed match grouping of Marines from different chapters brought together, the best battle brothers brought together
I can relate it
into
is
a squad.
Think of it
the best of the best.
Think of it as like Top Gun school for Marines, basically.
So they
have
Space Marine men in black?
Yes.
The best of the best?
Yeah,
like
essentially.
I put it more like Top Gun.
They repaint their armor black. They get a new bit of armor, but they can't. They usually leave like their chapter emblem untouched because they leave it because
so
it would upset the machine.
They make their armor more stealth and spray paint it black.
Yeah.
Except for that big shiny silver arm.
Big shiny silver arm and silver shoulder pad. But, you know, the other shoulder pad's got their chapter emblem on it because it would be offensive to the machine spirit of the armor to completely cover it. There's a lot of lore in Warhammer 40K. I don't play it, but I know there's a lot of lore.
There is.
Which, in April, they'll be starting the third chapter of the... our third story arc of the Warhammer comic, which is a series of miniseries. Which have a small but loyal following.
I bet.
Small but loyal followings can make things happen, though.
Yeah,
look at Firefly.
Yeah, so that's a Firefly.
Look at Family Guy.
So apparently not soon
Family
enough
Guy
for
is
them.
More.
Yeah, Family Guy, there you go. They actually made something happen.
I would want that just for interesting conversation pieces.
What's a
Nindroids?
That would be an interesting conversation starter.
One of these two.
Yeah, that one would. Yeah, that one. I would love to have that one around when my friends comes around.
I don't know the proper pronunciation of it's a Nindroid, Nindo droid.
It doesn't matter. It's just call it. Just
they're
call it
little,
something.
little like you know, posable, customizable action figures you can get. And there's two of them. It's basically giving the middle finger. Oh, so are we ready to wrap this one up?
One thing I was going to say, the aliens coming out in April will have a Jeff Darrow variant cover.
Yeah,
we said that earlier. Yeah,
okay. That was the series that was Stokely.
Yeah,
Image's 25th anniversary, they're doing a bunch of throwbacks variant covers, which is some of them look kind of neat. Yeah, some of them just remind you how bad covers in the 90s were.
Oh, yes.
But they're also doing a series of 25-cent comics.
Which the first one was the Walking Dead one, right?
Yep. And Walking Dead and Vampirella.
Vampirella isn't Image.
No, but it's also 25 cents.
Yes, It's Vampirella number zero. Actually, I need to put that in my box. It's a nice looking book.
Yeah, where the 25. There's a couple other people jumping in on the 25 cent comic bandwagon with Image.
Now, if all comic books could be 25 cents, I'd be happy.
That'd be nice.
That'd be great.
That would be great.
Yeah. You hear that, comic book publishers?
I don't see
you're
that
not money anyway.
Time,
you're not making money off of comic books anyway. You're just making money off the movies.
Yeah.
Oh, and for those of you who have really valuable X-Men comics, they're re-releasing X-Men number one in a $1 True Believer variant. So. And the first giant-size X-Men. So, you know, I mean... The True Believer, whatever, or the dollar comics usually are used to get people into stories or whatever.
I don't think.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that's cool that they're re-releasing those. I mean, they're out in trade, but...
They're also re-releasing the X-Force and the New Mutants 100.
Yeah. Got a whole new line, you know, coming out of various, you know, first Astonishing X-Men. That's actually a good jumping on point. You know, you can pick up that whole series in trade. And it's the Whedon run. You know, people love that. You know, we're getting a double Walking Dead month this month.
Ooh, it's bi-weekly?
Just this month.
Oh, they must be gearing up for something if they want to try
Well, they're making up for that 25 cent issue.
Kirkman
they
need
the full,
some extra money. Yeah.
They've got to have the full $3.99. Yeah.
I wonder if Kirkman just dives into a pool of money like Scrooge McDuck.
It's a little bit bigger than Scrooge
McDuck. I bet he has the most awesome anti-zombie basement ever. let's see.
The zombie apocalypse comes. We're going to Kirkman's.
Yeah, and of course, if you come by the shop, we've got this nifty little magazine, Image Classics. It's a freebie that tells you about some of their greatest series they've had going over the year.
Some of the series you probably want to forget about. Like Young Blood. What are you talking about?
Those aren't advertised in those books. You know, they talk about Walking Dead, Chew.
They talk about Spawn, yeah, Savage Dragon, Walking Dead, Wanted, I Kill Giants, Chew, Fatale, Saga, East of West, Rat Queen, which is coming back.
Is it?
Yes. Sex Criminals. But yeah, you know, they're not going to talk about the original seven Image comics, because like half of them aren't Image anymore.
Well, wasn't Spawn one of the originals?
Yeah. Spawn was one of the originals. Wildcats, Youngblood, Shadowhawk, Savage Dragon. Help me out, Adam. I'm drawing a blank.
Okay. I don't know.
It was Cyberforce.
Yeah, Cyberforce.
Cyberforce. Because I got Shadowhawk, because everybody forgets Shadowhawk.
Yeah.
So it's Spawn, Shadowhawk, Savage Dragon, Youngblood.
Which one was, where was the Pit from?
Pit was second wave Image. But,
So I just remember hearing a lot of jokes about it. Put out a Pit comic.
Oh, my Image trivia is failing me now. I can only name six of the seven.
That's fine.
It wouldn't be Wetworks. I don't think it was Wetworks. Wetworks was supposed to be one of the originals.
Yeah, but it didn't.
Okay, so. Youngblood, Spawn, Cyberforce,
Wildcats,
Shadowhawk, Savage Dragon. What is the seventh one?
And of course, there goes to the internet.
Yeah. Go, Wikipedia.
Wikipedia powers activate!
Usually a little more accurate than Google powers, but, you know.
It just shows the current ones, right? It's not showing the...
There was... Let's see. I'm giving up the 7 million comments, giving up the copyright.
Say goodbye to
the Eric Larson, Ron Lee, film Jim Lanto.
Yeah,
that is it.
I'm looking because it gives because it says it shows the first Image books to arrive in stores were Liefeld's Youngblood,
Savage Dragons, Spawn, Wildcats,
Shadowhawks, Cyberforce. I think Wetworks was the seventh title, but Wetworks didn't make the initial launch.
Okay.
Because I feel that Wallace Pacheco or Poncheco.
And Poncho's much delayed Wetworks. It's claiming it was one of the.
Because he was one of the founders. He was one of the seven founders, but.
He didn't make his own deadline.
He didn't make his own deadline.
Okay.
And that's what I tell people, you know, because, okay, little known to people outside of this immediate circle, I went to art school. And I've often told people the difference between an artist and a professional artist is the ability to hit a deadline.
Yeah.
And that's not really true, because the true difference is the ability to get somebody to pay you on a regular basis. But, I mean, realistically, that is one of the hardest things for artists to do is hit a deadline. Because deadlines are the polar opposite of an artist's soul.
Yeah, but I remember it was those seven artists. It was McFarlane, Liefeld, Silvestri, Valentino, Pacello, and Lee. And who am I missing? There were seven. The original was the seven artists that left Marvel, started Image. And I remember I have all the Image number ones at that time. And
really? That might be a.
I do.
That's cool.
I have all those Image number ones. But I think there were supposed to be seven titles at the launch, and the seventh title was Wetworks.
I hear the Image.
How often do you go back and read those Young Bloods?
Spawn number one's like $10 now.
Do yeah. What?
I hear Spawn number one's like up to $10 or something.
Oh, that.
Now.
$10.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Really? But, you know, Lee went to DC and he took Wildstorm with him. Liefeld.
Wildstorm's getting relaunched.
Liefeld went wherever he went, Homage or wherever he went to, and pretty much all his projects died.
Mm-hmm.
Shadowhawk kind of petered out. And I think
Spawn's still kicking.
Spawn and Savage Dragon are the two longest running series. Well, I think Savage Dragon is doing a little more, has run a little longer than Spawn.
Spawn, I think Todd McFarlane jumped off for what 100 issues. Or
Todd McFarlane doesn't write Spawn.
And then, he jumped on for an arc or two a while back.
But what's happened with Savage Dragon?
They tried to sort of relaunch.
Savage Dragon is now second only to Cerberus as the
longest running quote indie comic.
Not indie comic, but creator comic.
Creator-owned
comic, because Cerberus went for 300 issues, and Savage Dragon is somewhere in the 200s.
Well, and Cerberus is actually still coming out with some new stuff. There's a new series called Cerberus in Hell.
Okay.
It's a four-issue series.
But you can still get, you can get the trades. And
the trades are still in print.
If you still...
223.
If you want to, look at good sequential art, Cerberus is a good place to go to. That art is great sequential art if you want to just have a good study of sequential art, which kind of dovetails into that whole conversation we had earlier about, Jeff Darrow and, you know, the 2 to 3 issues of him just cutting zombies up.
Yeah.
That is sequential art.
And sequential art, but no story.
No story. Well, true.
And you roll
No, and I will not do anything to shame that man's art, because it's amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
He's a treasure. I consider
and
him a treasure.
I can spot his art from a mile away.
Oh, so can I.
And, you know, and I went back being a Magic player, you know, having several cards. He's done a lot of Magic cards throughout the years, too. And
The artist on Dr. Aphra is Kev Walker. Is this the same Kev Walker that does magic cards?
I think so.
Maybe, yeah. There's actually a lot of crossover between the artists.
Rebecca Gouay. I wish she would do some covers or something.
You know?
Teresa Nelson.
Teresa Nelson could, but she does her own thing. You know, her and her wife are happy doing the little... Her own projects without really... She does, it's rare for her to even do magic stuff anymore.
Yeah. I think there was, like... Didn't she, like, do something for, like, Eternal Masters or something?
Yeah, she redid Force of Will.
Okay.
And she's done a couple promos here and there. But she's... I don't know. So, Magic didn't like to use super big artists, you know.
But the thing is some artists become super big because of Magic.
Especially like, in the Magic community. So then it's...
Like, remember Chippy?
Yeah.
Chippy was doing stuff, like, in Urza. Like, some very early Chippy stuff was in Urza. And he was, like, had some phenomenal stuff in the Shards block. It was a ether. There's a three color card. It's an Esper card. Yeah, it's an Esper colors, but it's Chippy artwork. It's beautiful. I'd love to get just a big image of that.
Yeah, but yeah. So they'll sometimes bring some arts back, of course. Yeah, there's a lot of good artists out there. They're still that started with Magic. It's some, I don't know, it seems to be a mixed bag, which I imagine doing comic book art would be the same way.
Yeah.
While you get a lot of fans, you probably don't get a lot of your traditional art purchasers. You know, I know Melissa Benson has expressed some disgust as how she's been treated by some Magic fans, you know, over begging for this and, you know, doing been mistreated by some Magic fans. You know, she hasn't done a Magic card in 20 years. Yeah, so. But, because they don't want to pay a premium artist price, they're not going to use a lot of premium artists. Not that the artists that they use, or I should say famous artists, because, I mean, they do use some good artists.
Yeah. But you won't see Hildebrandt on there anytime soon.
Right. Yeah,
you won't see Alex Ross doing a magic
exactly.
card. I would kill to see an Alex Ross magic card, but I don't think it's ever going to happen.
No. But, yeah, I don't. It seems like I noticed their art. Like, once I recognize them in comic books, if they've done magic cards, I'll then recognize those magic cards. Because I definitely noticed Jeff Darrow's art, and I recognized and learned his art in comic book form, you know. And then now, like, all his magic cards just pop out like a sore thumb. Which is another weird phrase. To quote, a cult classic TV show, you ever looked at a thumb and said, man, that baby's sore. Bonus points if you know who that's a quote of. Yeah. Oh.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm not up to speed on my cult TV shows.
It's an old one. But anyway, final thoughts?
Oh, Super Bowl's this weekend.
Oh, boy.
That's some sports ball thing?
Yeah, that's...
No. That's some commercial thing. That's where vendors come from all across the world to hawk their newfangled thing at you.
I don't even know
who's
playing.
In between, you can watch some sort of sporting event.
And there's a musical show.
Yeah, in the middle of it.
Except for this year.
I don't even know who's playing.
Lady Gaga.
I'm talking about the actual game.
Oh, you're talking about the actual game?
The actual game.
Oh, I it's haven't followed. Patriots and Falcons.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a blowout for you.
So, of course, everybody's going on about, you know, Brady getting his next ring and everything. And it's just like, I could care less.
He's got enough rings.
Which, so Tom Brady was in Ted 2. I don't know if y'all see. And there's clearly a part that they went back and re-edited it, which Seth MacFarlane's really good about putting out some really fast current stuff, because that movie launched right after the inflation scandal. And so they re-edited a part with a stand-in strangling the main character. And him saying, you know, they didn't look deflated to me. I think your balls are fine. You know, and clearly it jumps just enough. You know they threw that in there last minute. But when I saw that in the theater, that just made me laugh. Yeah. And, of course, the Family Guy Trump bus thing came out, like, the week after, you know. Jason, final thoughts as you're gluing your
gluing my plastic together?
Your Death Watch.
Sorry for the fact that I screwed them up. It's okay. They'll be all right.
Well,
You got a lot of as long as
they can play with.
Yeah, well, his approach to putting together models is way different than my approach.
I've noticed everybody has a little bit different.
Because what I would do is I would probably assemble them in parts before I painted them.
Put all the guns on the hands.
Well,
then,
no, what I would do is, like, you know, the sticky tack for, like, walls, for posters on walls. I'd take a little ball of that, and I would put together the model like that, and then maybe prime it. Then you can take it apart and paint the pieces individually, because you got... Can I pick one up?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, like this one right here. You're not going to be able to get a lot of detail back there,
but here's
behind
the thing.
That shield.
As most Warhammer players, it's like... It doesn't have to look,
look
that pretty.
Right.
I've often asked
if people, you know, paint it on the sprue.
I've seen a lot of that. There's a lot of people
that.
There are people who do that.
There are people who do paint on the sprue. There are.
I just. Because
as from a pure painting point of view, you know, that does seem the easiest way to do it.
Because they're all there, and you can just paint, you know, prime them, give them a nice wash, maybe a little highlighting. And do that, but I like to assemble how I compose it, and then, you know, maybe prime it, and then put it back together.
Well, my thing is, I don't have a lot of time for a lot of painting and stuff, so I just rather put it together so I can play with it.
Which is one of the reasons why I, you know, if I ever get back into the hobby, and I'm sitting on models that I have unassembled, if I ever truly decide to get back into the hobby, it will be a little while before I have an army ready to go, because I do kind of appreciate that aesthetic to it.
I have no problem with that. I just don't have the time for it.
I know. I understand.
The other thing, the one advantage that I've heard about people talking, priming after it put together, is that the primer can fill in some of the cracks where the pieces don't fit together perfectly or something. If you don't line it up a little bit, it acts almost like a filler.
Yes.
Now,
this is going to
be
doing
one of the things I like, and I would do if I had the time, is I would probably magnetize a lot of my figures.
Yeah, and I've seen some neat,
because in particular larger figures, you can, you know, because you'll end up having extra pieces that are on the sprue. And what do? You just cut them up and put them in a bits box. Well, if you magnetize them, then you have interchangeable pieces, so you could actually mix and match your troops to meet the situations in the game scenarios.
For bigger vehicles and stuff that can take different loadouts at different times, I would love to be able to start magnetizing.
Oh, yes.
But for my small little troops and everything, like you said, I'm always going to have a blue 10 million of these guys. I can fix them however I want.
I've seen where they take Terminators and magnetize them.
That's just people who have way too much time on their hands.
But it works out so nice.
And they're welcome to do that, but I don't.
Okay.
So they.
Okay.
Final thoughts.
I think that was your final
thing. Yeah, that's pretty much my final thing. I'm done, so I'm just going to let the rest of them go.
Let the rest of the table go.
Yeah, let the rest of the table have their time.
That's yours. Adam, final thoughts? Where do you come down on the side of magnets? Pro-magnet? Anti-magnet?
You know, if I had
work?
If I had both the time and the money to get into Warhammer, I would go magnet.
But
time
I have,
and money? You can't have both.
But I have neither of those. So I'm going to go nothing. I'm not.
You're pro nothing?
I'm staying out of Warhammer.
That's it. Adam is pro nothing.
Pro nothing.
You can hear them on the record. He is pro nothing. Final thought?
Nothing.
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 Pro nothing.
Pro nothing.
Nothing for President 2020.
Yeah. Giant meteor.
Yeah, nothing. 2020.
We can do better.
Well, you know the drill. You can find us on OutrightGeekery.com, ComicCity2.com, Facebook.com/ComicCity2, or Facebook.com/OutrightGeekery.
You got a Twitter now.
I do. I had a Twitter.
I just found it like this week.
So, for those of you who didn't know, you can follow Comic City 2 on Twitter. Oh, we've been using it for about a year now to shoot out our weekly email. Well, I also went ahead and tried to got it to where I can tweet from my
fancy
my phone. Yes.
Man.
And,
welcome to the modern age.
In a sad moment in my life, I used a hashtag in a non-rhetorical sense. I'm just hashtag with it now. Yeah,
you're a sellout.
I'll have to step into the millennials now.
Losing faith in you, learn.
See,
I didn't even know you had one of the fancy pants smartphones to begin with.
It's a Windows phone, so it's not all that fancy.
But it's fancy enough. It's for you to use Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do. Actually,
fancy
I can
enough for you to hashtag on. So.
I can do everything I can do.
Did you just retweet?
I did. I just retweeted.
You just retweeted something.
A review of Rick and
Morty 22.
Number, yeah.
Oh.
And let's see.
Wubba dubba dub dub.
Wubba dub dub. Do you know what that means? I'm in pain.
I am so tired of waiting for season 3. That's a great show.
I am so tired of waiting for season 3.
Advertising your smart water.
Oh yeah.
So, and that'll about wrap it up as I live tweet this photo of us recording this podcast.
Oh, man. Yes.
That's the next step.
We're going to be live tweeting our podcast.
We're going to be streaming
tweet
the podcast.
Tweet your questions to us.
That would be great if we could have some kind of audience interaction. Maybe that's something we should look at for the Patreon on Outright Geekery. An audience Q&A. As he walks away from the microphone.
Send all of your hate mail to Gomer's Afro.
So, yes, but be sure to check us out here at Comic Book City 2. Wait, I just messed it up.
You totally
messed it up.
Comic City 2.
ComicCity2. Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
Good night, Elaine.
I am so sorry about that.